It's the Food Mensch, Arthur Schwartz. Here we go. Hello,
Hello.
Arthur. No.
It is
Hello.
this is literally and figuratively a mozzarella moment. By which I mean this is the high season for, well, not making it, but eating mozzarella. So, and you know, now in the States we know about different kinds of mozzarella. It's not just what you we used to buy those very dense balls of cheese in the supermarket. But I have to tell you that 40 years ago, maybe not quite, maybe 35 years ago, my attitude about those so-called rubber balls changed totally when a listener called and referred to it as scamorts. That's what her father always called it, scamorts. And of course, by that time, I knew what she was talking about. Scamorza is, in fact, a low moisture, slightly aged, but not weeks, could be just days, old form of mozzarella. So, knowing that, thinking that, it's really not mozzarella, it's scamorza, I could deal with it in lasagna and other baked ziti dishes and like that more easily. Because by that time, I knew that fior di latte, which is what Southern Italians call generic cow's milk mozzarella, and may I say, I do love hearing it pronounced correctly as mozzarella, comes from an Italian verb, mozzare, which means to lop off, as in like Marie Antoinette's head. And the reason it's called that is that in the process of making it, there is a lopping off point. I'll get to that later. But anyway, the word mozzarella refers to that. It's a ball of mozzarella cheese. In any case, it is a generic kind of cheese made in southern Italy. And in Italian, you would call it pasta filata, which is to say stringy pasta. Pasta being the paste of cheese. And how it's made is you take fresh milk and you add to it, after you acidify it ever so slightly, you add something called rennet. Now, natural animal rennet comes from the lining of a unborn calf or newly born calf's stomach. That has the most rennet because the calf's stomach uses this to help digest its mother's milk. So this product, which in ancient times it was discovered, because we speculate, some nomadic tribe perhaps took a vessel made of a calf's stomach and put milk into it, and it became curdled. You drain the curds, and the solid part is what becomes cheese, and the rest of it is called whey, as in Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, eating her curds and whey. So, in the making of a pasta filata, which is this generic kind of cheese in southern Italy, after adding the rennet to warmed milk, the rennet will curdle the milk, and then you drain the curds and break them up. Now, there's different ways to break them up. In modern cheese factory, well, I'm going to call it a factory, cheese productions, but they have machines that shred it up. I've seen it very artisanally done, and in that case, there are these big. It looks like a wire whisk, but giant wire whisk. And instead of it being just wire, the edges are sharp. So you can take that and break up the cheese inside the vat in which it came curds and whey. And then you drain the curds and do what you're going to do with it. And then you have whey left over. The whey still has protein in it and a lot of fat. And in fact, is what it is used traditionally to make ricotta, which means recooked. You take the whey, you bring it to a simmer, and you'll get more, by heat, you'll get more curds. Now, let me get back to rennet, which is the enzyme from the lining of a calf's stomach that is used in, most cheese. I don't want to say all cheese at all, because these days there is also derived from vegetables a kind of curdling, which we call rennet, vegetable rennet. And if you're kosher, and this is interesting, I think, because I'm Jewish, probably, if you're kosher, you're not supposed to eat dairy, meaning milk products, with meat products, which in this case would be the lining of a calf's stomach, after all. However, I have talked to mishgiachs, that's the people who supervise kashrut, and some of them will tell you that it is such a minor amount of rennet, of animal rennet, that it doesn't count. In other words, you only need a tiny, tiny amount to curdle a big vat of milk. And in fact, by the same token, vegans have rationalized eating cheese without reference to the rennet. There are vegans who do not want to eat cheese made with animal rennet. So in their case, there are in fact many these days cheeses made with vegetable rennet, and because it's good marketing these days, it'll often be sold as vegan cheese. So back to pasta filata. So pasta filata, this basic curds and whey, the curds are then heated with boiling water, stirred and stretched, stirred and stretched, until it is a big blob. It would be like a giganta mozzarella. And it's from this gigantic ball of worked up curds that handfuls, literally, are pinched off, and that becomes a cheese that you buy in the store, mozzarella. And so the pinching off part, and it's a two, it's in the old-fashioned way, it's a two-person project. Somebody has to hold the larger mass of a worked up curd while the other one pinches off the handfuls. And so a handmade mozzarella, you will actually see a little seam on one side where the pinching happened. Now, this is your basic cow's milk cheese. If it's buffalo milk cheese, it's the same process. However, buffalo milk itself has 9% fat, as compared to cow's milk, which has somewhere in the 3 to 4% fat. So double the fat in a buffalo milk cheese. And buffalo milk cheese is a lot more delicate, I don't want to say quirky, but certainly delicate than the cow's milk cheese. Cow's milk cheese in the south of Italy is called fior di latte, flower of milk, if you translate it literally. Buffalo milk cheese is mozzarella di bufala, and it's not just made around Naples anymore. However, the big production of mozzarella is made all around, well, I would say from Rome south and Rome south, certainly in the summer now. And it is a mozzarella moment because this is literally high season for mozzarella. More mozzarella is sold in July and August than any other time of the year. And some of the, I'm told, I don't know anybody who has such a dairy, but I'm told that there are some dairies that just survive on their business from the summer. Especially if you have a location near a beach or on the way to the beach. I have several times in my life gone to the beach with Italian friends, and you have to stop on the way to the beach to pick up your mozzarella. Now, the funny part is that one of my friends was very particular about, he's Neapolitan, very particular about his cheese. He it's a compromise for him to eat the cheese for lunch because the cheese has not relaxed yet. I think this is an interesting point. Now, if you were eating this cheese where it's made, you know, in Pestum, for instance, the cheese would be eaten very, very fresh. But for my friend Bruno, of course Bruno, right? He wants it to relax. So we eat it for lunch, but he always buys one for dinner too, because he says at dinner time it's going to be relaxed and we'll enjoy it even more. But that's in his back in his apartment. In any case, I always think of when I talk about how about fresh cheese. Cecilia, my friend who is a water buffalo farmer, where we used to have the cooking school. One day, a student said to her, I'm not sure we had already gone to the mozzarella production. We always took our classes to see the water buffalo and the milking of the buffalo. No, well, not milking so much, but definitely the buffalo and the making of the cheese. Anyway, in the old days, before the health department got after us, we were able to all walk into the dairy. Nowadays, everybody's, well, there are a couple of places that have made accommodations for tourists. However, it's frowned on to take anybody into the dairy. In any case, the one day we're sitting at the table eating lunch, and student says to Cecilia, "How old is this cheese?" And Cecilia looked at her watch and said, "Oh, about 2 hours old." That was like the ideal time to eat the cheese, as far as she was concerned. But interesting, in Naples, where of course it's a big city, they're not making cheese inside the big city. They have to bring it in from the burbs or the countryside, really. And by the way, the north and south of Italy, I'm sorry, of Naples, are big productions of water buffalo mozzarella. North of Naples, the cheese, the milk for the cheese is pasteurized, so that's the cheese that we get in the States, because you cannot import fresh cheese unless it comes from pasteurized milk. You can't, so the really good stuff, which is coming from the south of Naples, and by the way, and now in other southern regions, because mozzarella is so popular, and buffalo mozzarella is so popular that I actually know a few farmers in Puglia and Calabria who have bought buffalo stock so that they can breed and buffalo and produce their own milk and cheese. Anyway, so buffalo milk, as I said, is 9% fat. Which is double the fat, more than double the fat of cow's milk. And so it's rare to find, it's very hard to make, I should say, cheeses other than fresh mozzarella with it. But on occasion, I do see other cheeses like, well, say, you know, like provola that's made with buffalo milk. In any case, the spin-offs. So a mozzarella is just the fresh cheese made with cow's milk, or it could also be called fior di latte. And then there's the same cheese made with buffalo milk. But then there are other cheeses. For instance, the scamorz, the low moisture, rather rubbery to eat fresh. You wouldn't want to really eat it, you know, just like that. Whereas a freshly made fior di latte would be dripping with milk. You know, these are mainly for cooking, as far as I'm concerned, but good cooking. In any case, that's called scamorza, but it gets very confusing when you get below actual mozzarella, because the same cheeses could go by different names. The same name can be used for different cheeses. So, in general, if you see provola, it's the same or very similar to scamorza. Provola is, as it sounds, related to provolone, but provolone is a very large cheese, provolone. And we usually buy that, sliced, or and it comes everywhere from sort of sweet when it's fresh, not aged very long, and then it could be aged for a couple of years. In that case, it could be quite sharp. And it's pretty much the same with provola. Scamorza and provola can be both normal, I don't know how to even say, naturale, I guess, natural, or smoked. I happen to love smoked scamorza, and fortunately, that is very available in American supermarkets. And if you want something interesting, you can make your baked ziti using smoked scamorza, smoked mozzarella. I don't even know what they call it, what they label it. Then there's a cheese called caciocavallo. Now, caciocavallo is called caciocavallo. I've read some other, old wives' tales about it, but truly it's called caciocavallo because it's aged, tied together in pairs over a, what we in the U.S. call a carpenter's horse, and is the same thing in Italy. It's a horse, cavallo. So it's a cheese, it's not a horse cheese. Somebody once said to me they thought it was always cheese made from horse's milk. No, it's because it looks like saddlebags thrown over a horse, but in this case, a carpenter's horse, which is also called, as I said, called a horse in Italian. So it's the cheese on the horse. So and you see them hanging in Italian markets because it can be quite aged, but usually, for me, it doesn't have to be so aged. I'm looking for the a good meltability, which is usually pretty good in provolone. I mean, in provola, also provolone. Now, and we did caciocavallo. Now, here's one I think. Well, maybe I'm making it controversial. Burrata. Have you ever had burrata?
Yes.
Well, I've watched it being made in both a high production facility and in an artisanal facility, meaning everyone was made by hand. And I've also tasted it on this side of the ocean, made in Italy, and I don't recommend it. It's very unstable. There are burrata, I don't mean, let me first say what burrata is. So burrata is a case, a thin case should be, of mozzarella, meaning you make a mozzarella ball and then you hollow it out. In the artisanal way, they use their thumbs to hollow it out. In the industrial, they have a machine that hollows it out. Into the hollow, those strands of unfinished, strung out filata occur. It's called stracciatella. And the stracciatella is encased in heavy cream, and a bit of both are put into the middle of this, could say like a balloon of mozzarella. It's sealed, and the whole thing is when you go to eat it, put it on a plate, and you split it open, it should ooze out lots of cream and beautifully fresh tasting, milky tasting strands of unrubbered mozzarella. It's very good. Now, unfortunately, it's also very expensive. So when I see it in a restaurant, besides that whatever it's in or on is usually expensive, because it has to be expensive, they gussy it up in some way. I don't want them to gussy it up, because all I want is a burrata drizzled with some really great olive oil and salt and pepper. That's it. And a piece of and good bread to eat with it. Now, if I have to have a vegetable, I'll take some tomatoes, sun-dried tomatoes. That's one that I don't mind because it's a good bite. And let's see what else. So, and then there's one more that I never have seen in the States. I used to get Italian friends would bring this to me because they knew I loved it. It's called burrini. And what burrini is a scamorza, meaning a low moisture, ever so slightly aged mozzarella in the middle filled with butter. And I don't know what, even if it's a cow's milk, it's still the best butter I've ever had. And what you do is you cut the cheese in half, and you can scoop out some butter and put it on a little bread, and then eat it with a wedge of cheese. It's a great lunch. Boudin, you're not going to see. I've never seen it in the States. If anybody ever sees it, tell me. Budini. Now, there are a lot of things to do with mozzarella. It's interesting that the first one that came to my mind was mozzarella in carrozza, which is mozzarella in a carriage, and the carriage is bread. Now, when I first started making this eons ago, I mean, really, probably I was a teenager, I loved it so much. I learned how to make it, but I learned how to make it wrong, which is to say, I made it with white bread, American white bread, and I dipped it, and then you make a little sandwich with a crustless white bread sandwich, although with American white bread, I realized later there was no reason to cut off the crust. And then you dip it in milk, and then in flour and egg, or breadcrumbs. Now, the thing is, American white bread does not deserve this treatment, cannot tolerate this treatment. However, if you make this with good, solid, Neapolitan bread, you definitely want to dip it in milk. Because, first of all, you wouldn't make this with fresh bread. You would only make this with day-old, two-day-old bread. And then you take the crust off, of course, because that crust is going to be too hard later. You use at the very, very most, I don't know, a quarter of an inch of mozzarella, and then you dip it in. I would, after dipping it in milk because it's not fresh bread, then you dip it in egg, and then you dip it in flour. I don't like the breadcrumb version so much, but if you like breadcrumbs, do that instead of the well, on top of the egg. And fry, and I fry those in olive oil, and they don't take but a couple minutes on each side to get nice and brown. If you want to see if the oil's hot enough, put a pinch of your breadcrumbs or a pinch of flour into the oil, and if it sizzles right away, it's ready for the bread. And to me, you got to eat these right away. So it's like making latkes at Hanukkah time. Somebody's got to stand in the kitchen and fry, and then I like them. This is what I did when a long time ago was with anchovy butter. Basically, melt some butter and a few anchovies in the butter, and then you can drizzle that on top of your mozzarella and carrozza. And if you like, you can put an anchovy in each one with the mozzarella. That's a good way to go. Now, of course, the standard these days is to have a caprese salad. Insalata caprese. Now, don't make insalata caprese with fancy cheese. It should be made with good, fresh mozzarella. I can buy fresh mozzarella. It's made the same day I buy it in my neighborhood. I don't know what the deal is wherever you are, but it's so easy to get these days. I think somebody in your nabe must have some fresh, but it's to me not worth eating. And also, some supermarkets carry a pretty good semi-locally made mozzarella. It should be as fresh as you can get if you want to make a caprese. But caprese is nothing more than sliced tomato, sliced mozzarella, good olive oil, and lots of torn up basil on top. There are fancier versions, but that's the basic salad. And anything with those three ingredients in them, like you can make macaroni with diced tomato, diced mozzarella, and lots of torn basil. And if you want to call it caprese, go ahead. So that's it. And please pronounce it correctly. Mozzarella, it has an A at the end. And but Americans really don't know how to do that. So everybody have a cool week. Eat lots of mozzarella, no work involved, no heat involved necessarily. Although I have to say, after your mozzarella is a couple of days old, then it's ready to cook with. But that's it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you, Maestro Mozzarella.
And
we will talk to you again and look forward to it. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Bench, on Robin Hood Radio.